just sing one more, and then we'll have see if there's any testimonies. Let's sing, "Behold, what manner of man is this?"
What manner of man is this who stands between God and man?
Last week I was having a particularly trying day and I was feeling quite down, and then I went to bed that night and I had this lovely, lovely dream, and in the dream, I don't remember where it was, but someone said, and it sounded like the voice of Jesus, "But I died for your sins," and I praised the Lord, and I just felt his spirit upon me in my dream. And it's just so encouraging to know that, you know, when you're feeling down and almost out, that he still puts his arm around you and just gives you a little touch just to lift you up out of that hole. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes, no, I just like to give all the glory and all the thanks to the Father, because I went through an experience last week, and I felt sort of empty within myself, and my spirit was, I had to try and quieten my spirit down and pray to the Lord for energy and strength for where I am with Kerry at the moment, and be keep it up or in front of him, you know. And but he's been good. He's recovering from his, they stopped the bleeding and all that. So he's, we have our prayer time together and sing a couple of songs. And no, I just give all the glory. And anyway, I thank you for the word this morning, Pastor, because he knows your needs, you know. He knows every need that is in my heart, and I just give him all the thanks and the glory to that. And yeah, just thank the Lord.
Amen. A wonderful thing to serve a living God, isn't it? Now you can just come into any situation and meet your need. See. Sister Mel, thanks for that. Yeah. No. Did you have one, Sister Mel? Yes.
I really like to thank the Lord. Now, I can't tell you how, but it's excuse me. It's real in my heart. But through Shirley's passing and the things that I've asked the Lord for, it has really increased my faith. I can't explain how, but I know it's increased my faith. Even to try and stand there this morning, I thought, Lord, and I said, you did it before, and I said, you're going to do it again. But I really thank God for it. It has increased my faith, and I thank God for it. But what really did it when Shirley's service was to be held, and it was raining day, as you know, and I said to the Lord at home before I went to the prayer meeting, I said, Lord, I said, we want to find day. I said, that's your child. She's gone to heaven. We're down here. And, Lord, it's going to be a fine day. And here, I just said to Robert, it's raining, but it'll be a fine day. And I just really thank the Lord. I went for my walk around the streets in the morning, and it was raining. No, it wasn't raining then, but it rained after. I looked out. I said, Lord, I still believe you. And I really do thank the Lord for it. It was a tremendous day. It really was. I think Jillian and Raven did a fantastic job to incorporate the whole family. I mean, she wanted Dean and she wanted my two grandkids and she wanted all her kids and great-grandkids. I think it was absolutely marvelous what she had done. We were there on Wednesday with Ivan and Shirley and Dawn and I, and just hearing them go through it, I came home to Robert on Wednesday. I said, it'll be a real happy, beautiful service. I just knew it would be. And I truly thank my God, and Shirley would thank God too. It was a tremendous blessing and of her life, a celebration of her life. And I really thank her. I do miss her. I want to ring her up now and tell her things even today, but she don't answer me. But anyway, I just thank God for it. I truly love the God, and I thank him for all he's done for me, unworthy, but very grateful. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and thank you all so much for your prayers. I was so strong on that day. I was a happy girl, and I thank God for that. Thank you so much, and God bless you all. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Just have one more, and then I'll ask Brother Hill to come. Let's sing number 296, The Chime of Times.
Chime of time, bring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have drawn your head is straight, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret.
be seated at this time. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Very blessed with the new pianist. Brother Peter, I think we've just lost our job. We're really blessed to have good musicians able to play. Some places are struggling to get one. Is that right, Brother Peter? Wherever you go, there's just not a bountiful number of musicians, but I just thank the Lord for Grace playing and Peter and others. We just thank God for that. So our broadcast went fairly well this morning. It's actually going now, live as well. We had a bit of a downside on the volume of the audio, but I think we'll trace that down, hopefully, and that'll be corrected even this as we speak. So praise the Lord. We thank God for that. And we've just got a little service this afternoon, and I want to just turn in our Bibles to the book of John, verse 4. Who's glad to be a part of the body of Christ?
Amen.
It's a great honor and a great privilege to be a part of his body. Thank you, Lord. I meant to mention Tina too. Sorry, Tina. And Pauline and Diane. Everybody's doing a little bit. We're just loaded with musicians. I think I can just about retire now. Just about. So let's just read John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, and I said to my wife, and I read that last night, Jesus got weary. Right? We get weary? He did. He knows what it's like getting weary. He's tired. Who's ever been tired? Right, exactly. You know what the Bible says? Do not be weary in well-doing. So he'll keep us. He'll get us there. Hallelujah. So he's weary with his journey, thus sat on the well. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, had segregation then. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Who knows what that water was? Holy Ghost water. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. Oh, what a wonderful thing to say. Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, here it comes, here comes the water. Why? Jesus had just had a vision right there. Saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thine husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto a woman, Believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him, even today. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us these things. Do you imagine how Jesus felt? We're talking about this. He was the Christ standing in front of her. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak with thee am he. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful, wonderful reading that is. Praise be to God. Let us just pray. Lord Jesus, we just come once more, Lord. For a few moments we pray, Lord, you'll quicken your word to us. Bless every heart here and those afar that will be listening. May you make it real to each one, Lord. We do want to drink of that living water. It's not H2O, Lord. It's the Spirit of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we were speaking of this morning, Lord. I pray that you'll bless every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled this message, Divine Appointment. Divine Appointment. You don't just drift up to God. It's a divine appointment. And he arranges it for you. And if he's arranged it, you're going to have it. Isn't that good? You believe that, brother? Amen. So without a divine appointment, we cannot go anywhere with God. God has to come to you. He has to initiate this appointment. This is true, brother and sister. You can't say, well, I'm going to church and I'm going to meet God. You cannot do that. God initiates the appointment. In John 6:44, Jesus said, No man cometh unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So there's no way you can come to Jesus unless the Holy Spirit draws you. So it's really wonderful. So what is divine appointment? It is when you, not the person next to you, we're talking to you out there, you have an audience with God, which has been arranged by God. It is the greatest event in a person's life. It wasn't mine. I'm wanting some more. It is the greatest event in a person's life. These gracious encounters with the Almighty God are vital for your well-being and ongoing with him. Without divine appointment with God, you are going nowhere. You can still go to church, but that's about it. When we have an audience with God, it should be greatly respected and appreciated with godly fear. These divine appointments are not plentiful. I want to say this. The divine appointments are not plentiful. But come right at the right time for you and for me. God has the right season. Why? Because we are divinely appointed by God himself. Now this woman at the well, this is a very wonderful example of her being having a divine appointment. And Jesus knew he must needs go through Samaria. Now look at your map. We see where Jesus was going, and the Bible says he had needs to go through Samaria. Now, Samaria was right out of his way. Jesus had to circumvent and go to Samaria, to see this woman. And no doubt Jesus had been shown a vision by his heavenly Father to take this route. Jesus said in John 5:19, the Son can do nothing but what he seeth the Father do. So I really believe the Father had an arrangement for Jesus to meet the woman at the well. Who believes that?
Amen.
It was actually arranged by God. It wasn't arranged by her. She had no idea. But Jesus knew she was coming. So he waited for her to come. Why? God showed him in a vision. Showed him what was going to be. And Jesus had an appointment with this predestinated child of God. And this appointment had been divinely arranged by God. And when he arranges an appointment for you, it'll be the greatest thing in your life. Sister Maria. It's the greatest thing that can happen to you is when God arranges an appointment for you. There's nothing like it. You could have arrangements with the Prime Minister, President of the United States. Oh dear, they're not doing well, are we? Well, any other person, the Queen maybe, but that's nothing to be compared with an arrangement to have an appointment with God Almighty. So Jesus' route was set through Samaria, as I said before, even though it's out of his way. But watch God's approach to this. Jesus sat and waited. He was physically tired, as we said earlier. He was worn out, always preaching up on the hills with the multitudes. Jesus was just a man, don't forget, just a man physically. But he's Almighty God spiritually. So he got weary. The Bible says he is tempted on all points like as we, yet without sin. He might have thought, wow, I think I'll just give this a miss. I need to go and have a coffee somewhere. It's too much. I'm weary. Not our Lord. He was not weary in well-doing. He knew he had an appointment with this lady. So God, his approach was amazing. God knows where you and I live. He knows the street number you're in. And he has our address and he knows the route you walk. He knows where you go, what you think, even tonight. He knows exactly how you think. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. Who believes that?
Amen.
Well, he does. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. Notice when God has an appointment, he is never late. God is never late for an appointment. Sometimes we think that God has forgotten us, but never. He'll never forget you. If anything, it's God waiting for us, as Jesus did for this woman who came to the well. He was sitting there. He's probably like me, looking at the birds. Maybe talking to his heavenly Father, and here she comes. He said, here she comes, right on time. And she came. And notice the absolute simplicity of this mighty encounter with God. We think God sent down a flock of angels or something, puts out a carpet or something. No, just a man sitting on a well. And this woman came along. God is not so far away. You can't touch him.
Excuse me.
He comes right down to where you are. He started a simple conversation with the woman. Let me say it like this. When God speaks to you, it will be clear. As I've often said, God does not mumble. When God speaks to you, Brother Keith, it's very clear. Hallelujah. Oh, I think it was the Lord speaking to me, people say. No, not think. You know it when God's speaking to you. His instructions are very clear and leaves no doubt. Don't you love the Lord to know that he hears you and when he speaks to you? Our God is not complicated. He speaks to each person at their level, even children. Who believes God can speak to children?
Amen.
Absolutely. Remember that testimony we saw, June? Where was that, India? Romania? Someplace over there. Little children saw many visions. Great visions from God. Absolutely of God. 100% of God came to pass. In Mark 12:37, it says the common people heard him gladly. Jesus didn't use big flash words that nobody can understand. They'll go back and look up a dictionary and see what he's talking about. When Jesus speaks to you, it's really clear and straight to the point. The patience of the Lord. God had arranged this divine appointment. It had nothing to do with the woman. She was just going to get water like she always did by herself because she was a bad woman. So nobody used to come down to the well with her. It was the mercy of God that he had passed her way. He sat right on the seat where he knew she'd come and he could talk to her. Most men would have had nothing to do with this woman, knowing who she was. And that's why, as I said, she came to the well alone. Her reaction to the Lord was, "Oh, wonderful Savior." No, it wasn't. It was on the defensive. She was far from friendly to Jesus, even though it was a divine appointment. But because of the Lord's patience and love for this dear lady, whom one day we will see, she was far from friendly or in any spiritual frame of mind. Let's read John 4:9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Oh, she did not mince her words. She was right on the political line. But Jesus patiently pursued for her soul. Who believes that? He went after her soul. He got out of his way, had to probably walk a long distance to get to her. He's not going to give up just like that. She reasoned with Jesus about segregation. Then she started speaking about our father Jacob, always falling back on somebody else. But he made the well and all those things. But Jesus ignored all of her human defenses. He will ours also. He won't come to talk to you about the weather. When Jesus comes to you, he has a message for you. And he wants you to listen to what he's saying to help you. In John 4:10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water." Jesus was trying to contact her spirit, I do believe. An opportunity was almost lost. That's awful when you think about it. Jesus made that effort to get there. Worn out, probably been preaching half the day, and he had to go through Samaria. It would have been good if he could just bypass that, just go direct. But he had an appointment, a divine appointment with this dear lady. The tremendous privilege of having a personal appointment with God himself. It was really scary to see the woman trying the patience of our Lord. She approached on the segregation. She approached on the political, Jacob built our well, where this or where that. And this was a life and death encounter, unbeknown to her. Do we realize the seriousness of such an encounter with God? Be very gentle and very sacred and very sincere when the Lord comes to you. Jesus knew if he did not get through to her, she would go to a lost eternity. That's why we've got to be sensitive to the Spirit. Don't be dull of hearing. Or if Jesus said to the disciples, slow of hearts, don't be like that. He might come to you tonight. He might come to you this afternoon. He wants to talk to you. He wants to give you a message to help you. Have you ever heard Brother Branham, the discernment line, say, I think she's going to miss it. Speaking to a lady or out there in the fourth row, way back in the balcony. I think she's going to miss it. That's what he said. Oh, Lord, please help her. Mrs. Jones! She sat up. He got her attention. You've got to be listening when God speaks to you, that you don't miss it. When a person has an encounter with God, there's only one or two outcomes. Eternal life or eternal separation from God. So it is important. So a divine appointment doesn't mean you're in the kingdom. It's a process, you're coming to God. He's giving you an opportunity to speak to you, to help you. And when it looked like she was going to miss it, something sparked in her. When Jesus said this in John 4:14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And she said the right thing. She said, "Give me of this water." You see, brothers and sisters, what we're saying this morning about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going to say, "Lord, give me this experience. I want it, Lord. Be at his, honest, at his beck and call every day. Lord, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Brother Howard, pray for me. But Lord, I want to seek for it. I want it." Who wants it? Three do. Who wants the baptism of the Holy Ghost? We've got to reach out to God and mean it with all our hearts. It's very important. So, when he said that, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." I tell you what, brother and sister, you're looking at a guy that wants more of that water. Who wants more of it? Hallelujah. And she said, "Give me this water. Oh, give it to me." Now, I want you to notice something here. When she said, "Give me of the water," she wasn't looking around for a bucket or something. When she said, "Give me of this water," immediately Jesus had a vision. The Spirit of God came down. She's going to get your husband. She said, "I don't have one." He said, "That's correct. You've got five." "And he that's with you is not your husband." She says, "Oh, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." You see, brother and sister, when God comes to you, it's a supernatural experience. He'll speak to you and you'll know exactly what he's saying, and he knows exactly all about you. He knows the trials you're going through and the testings. He knows all about those. I know he does. He's helped me many times. He helps me every week. I'm very conscious of his helping hand upon me. "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet," she said. Boy, there's more spirituality than some people. Light had struck the seed of God in her. It really struck her. This is why Jesus had need to go through Samaria. He knew that she was a seed of God sitting there waiting for the light. He said, "I know." Look at that. "I know that when the Messiah comes, which is called Christ, he will tell us these things." And Jesus said, "I am he." Could you imagine that? The Lord said to you when you were inquiring, Brother Paul, and he said, "I am he." Oh, wow. I would have just melted into the ground. "Lord, help me. It's you. Yes, it's me." Jesus, she knew Jesus was the Christ right there. Scribes and Pharisees said, "Oh, Beelzebub or something." Not that woman. She knew that was the Christ speaking. This ill-famed woman showed greater revelation than the high priests in the temple. More than that, she had an instant transformation. This ill-famed woman, she's a prostitute. That's what she was. in a moment from a prostitute. She became an evangelist. She ran into the city and said, come see a man that's told me all the things that I did. Well, he didn't tell her everything. He just told her one thing. But she knew that he knew everything when she knew who it was speaking, the Christ. Come see a man that told me everything I did. This divine appointment changed in a powerful way. She ran into the city. And they said, here comes that prostitute. But the minute she opened her mouth, said, come see a man that told me everything I did. She was anointed of God. She had been in the presence of the Messiah. And she was anointed. And you know what? The whole city believed her. Isn't that amazing? Before they wouldn't even go near the woman. Now they took her word and they followed her out to where Jesus was, and he preached them all. The city believed on the Lord because of her testimony, because of a divine appointment. She testified with such convincing anointed testimony. They received it. And as a result, Jesus stayed another 2 days and he ministered to many more and they believed on Jesus. So what about you? It's all about us, what we're speaking of. God has divine appointment for you. Not to entertain you, but he has a job for you all to do. And you need to be anointed. And the only way you can be anointed of God is to be in his presence and to be meet with him. Remember, you don't have to be a wonderful Christian. People think, when I become a Christian, then I'm going to get to testify. No, you've got to do it now. Just go tell what the Lord has done for you. Who's got a testimony what he's done for you? 2, 3, 4. Anyone else? 5, 6. We're getting there. You've all got a testimony. And you need to go tell. Don't wait. Somebody out there could be waiting for you to speak to them. It'll be by divine appointment that God will bring you and that person together. And you'll have a word in season for them. So many have missed their divine appointments. And that is possible. We know the story of the rich young ruler. Came running up to him and said, Master, Master, what must I do? Good Master. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And he got down on his knees. He said, Master, what shall I do? The this man's going in. Can't miss it. Jesus said, sell all you have. Take up your cross and give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. And the man that had a divine appointment with God Almighty in flesh turned it down. The Bible says he was sad and he turned away. He went somewhere else and he never received what he came for. Don't be like that. The Lord might come to you tonight. Listen to what he's saying to you. Take it on board. Take it into your heart. I reckon that rich young ruler is one of the saddest stories in the Bible. He was so earnest. Everyone said, oh man, this guy's going to get it. He'll get it for sure. He's down on his knees crying out to Jesus. Call him good master. But he lost it because he had a whim for money, a whim for riches. Something attracted his attention, distracted his attention. So may God help us to be standing in the presence of God and miss it. That's awful. Many stood in the presence of the Lord. Oh, a voice said when he got down and he knelt down to Jesus, he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Good question. Asking the right person. And when he stood up, his eyeball to eyeball with Jesus, that's how close he got to Jesus. But he missed it. People say, if I could just see Jesus, it'll change me, would it? It may do. I hope so. But just seeing Jesus is going to take more. It's obeying Jesus, what he's telling you to do. Can you believe that's possible? What about Israel as a nation? In Matthew 23:37, we read, he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto you." They killed the prophets that God sent to them. Nothing's changed, I'm afraid. "How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not." It's really sad. What did Israel's outcome to them was missing their opportunity. In Luke 19:44, "And they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children with thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." You can miss your visitation. Terrible. Israel lost it. It's really sad. Don't miss yours. If God comes to you, listen to every word he's saying to you and take it in. What about Herod? Some things in the Bible I think are hard to believe. He made his own appointment with Christ. "I want to see him come. I want him to come to my court." But only a crazy man would do what he did. What Herod did. When he got in the presence of Almighty God, you know what he said to him? "Please show me a trick. Show me a trick. Do something, do a miracle for me." What about Pilate? He knew Jesus was a just person. Even his wife had a dream about him. Have nothing to do with this just man. God had sort of warned him. Don't touch him. But then the political pressure came on. What will Caesar say? The pressure mounted against him. So he thought he'd get a bucket of water, a dish of water, and wash his hands. People try to wash Christ away with a bucket of water from being a good Christian. A bucket of water of going to church every Sunday. That'll not do it. You've got Christ on your hands. And the appointment has come. He wants you to do something with it. So close and missed it because of the influence of other people. How many people have been given a wonderful opportunity? They came so close to Christ and missed him. I'm afraid many are going to miss him this last hour. Many have responded right to a divine appointment. I love the story of Jacob. Who loves the story of Jacob that he met the angel up on the hillside? What a wonderful response. There he is. I'm going to get him. And Brother Keith, he got the angel and he held on to him. Said, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." Until you get to that attitude, "I'm not going to let you go, Lord, until you bless me. I'm going to hold on to your presence. I'm not going to be distracted. I want to receive a blessing from thee." You see, people don't understand that you walk with God. Your walk with God is a fight. You got to fight for every inch of ground you get. Don't think it's just people say, "Oh, I just come to church and get a nice feeling come over me." No, it's more than that. You've got to fight and press your way into the kingdom. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy 6:12. What does it say? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You've got to lay hold on this. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You've been called and you're in a good fight of faith and you've got to really hold on. Don't be put off by laziness. Don't be put off by tiredness. Don't be put off by others. Press into God. You know, I love the story also of Elisha, who was promised a divine appointment if he stayed with Elijah. He said, if you're with me when I go, you'll be blessed. The Bible said three times he was tested. Elijah said, stay here while I go to Bethel. Stay here while I go to Jordan. And I'm just, no. He said, I'll never leave you. I'm staying with you wherever you go. You know what happened? He got the blessing. And don't you love that story? He under no circumstance was going to miss his appointment. Even if others say, "Oh, I'm too tired now. You go on if you want. I'm going on." Don't worry about what others do. If you're hungry for God, you'll hold on to God and you'll fight the good fight of faith. He wasn't going to miss this appointment. And saints, we have to feel the same way. He received a double portion of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Double portion of what Elijah had. Those on the day of Pentecost, we've spoken about this many times. Jesus said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And you read that in Luke 24. 49, you'll see it there. I wonder if there were some there in the upper room, and I've been in the upper room, praise God, I've been privileged to be there. I wonder if there's some there in the upper room who left the upper room early. Oh, I've got a job to do. I've got something important I must do. It was worth waiting for. And those that waited for. You see, brother and sister, when the invitation went out, Jesus gave the invitations to stay in Jerusalem and wait on the Lord, to wait until you're endued with power. You know how many he told? 500. Read it in the Bible. 500 people heard that request by the Lord before he was taken up. How many turned up? 50. 120, wasn't it? 120 turned up of the 500 group. The Bible says there's over 500 people that heard him say that. Tell you what. Quite a job, Diane. Sorry, job. I've got something far more important than my job. You'll be sacked. Sack me. I'm going to do what Jesus told me to do. And they waited for 10 days. I wonder how many actually, it doesn't say, but it'd be interesting to know how many left the room in the 10 days. My wife was telling me that the other day. I wonder how many left. Or were there any that left the upper room? Or they had something they had to do. Brother and sister, when it comes to divine appointment, you stick with it. Wait until God comes to you. It's worth waiting for. And this promise is unto you, my brother and sister, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And God has a divine appointment for every hungry heart here. So don't delay. Say, Lord, I want you. If God is speaking to your heart, redeem the opportunity. Don't play with such a gracious appointment. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Who knows that scripture? In Genesis 6:3, the Bible says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That woman, when Jesus was the woman at the well, he could have said, oh, she's going to start arguing. I'll just get out of here. No, he stayed with her because he really loved her. And she received a wonderful appointment and a blessing from God. You may receive one appointment in your lifetime, but it's a life-giving appointment. Everyone will at least receive one appointment. I believe everyone will receive at least one opportunity. God gives a person an opportunity. In Hebrews 9:27 it says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. It has been appointed unto man once to die. There's an appointment for everything. Don't miss your appointment. This appointment, every person will not miss, so be ready. Yes, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every person that's here on Thursday, Sister Mill, will come before the judgment seat of Christ. And that sermon, I believe, will be played back. And God will say, what did you do with my word? So these things are really important. Be like the woman at the well. She received of that living water when she was given the opportunity. Don't you miss it. Don't miss it. Be sincere. Be honest with God. Shall we just stand for prayer, brother and sister? Lord Jesus, as we come to you this afternoon, I pray, Lord, you'll speak to every heart and those out there that are listening to us now, that you'd cause them not to miss their appointment when you come calling. Maybe when some brother's preaching a sermon, they'll hear the voice of God. Don't let them miss it. I pray, Lord, that they'll hear what the Spirit's saying. Help us all, Lord, to be more sincere than we have been. Let's take things more seriously. For time is running out and the appointed time of your coming draws nigh. I pray, Lord, that we'll be washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost. Be ready to leave at any given moment that you call for us. Lord, help us all, I pray. Bless each one here. May you bless those joining with us. We ask in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that would not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well. Never shall one drop.
Isn't it? Let's give him thanks and praise. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just give you praise and glory, Lord, and all honor, Lord, and all power. And Lord Jesus, is due unto your name, Lord, and we just pour our hearts out before you, Lord, and thanks, Lord, for the work that you've done in our lives, Lord, and how you, our Lord, arranged each divine appointment, Lord, and that we did actually respond, Lord. We didn't walk away. Lord, we haven't changed our minds, Lord. We fully accept, Lord, everything that you've done for us and given us, Lord, and so I just commit each one, Lord, into your hands at this time, impressing upon them, upon the week, Lord, as we walk through this life, Lord Jesus, knowing that you're walking beside us, Lord, and continue to guide us by your Spirit, Lord, and Lord, that we would be, Lord, sensitive and yielded, we pray, and commit all things into your hands, in your precious and holy name, amen. Lord bless you, saints, as you go on your way, you are dismissed.